12-year-old Lee Spencer is in the back seat of his family's car as it's pulling up the driveway of the house they are moving into. Lee notices a young girl looking at him from the upstairs window. No one else in the car sees her. This is the beginning of a 4-year journey of Lee Spencer's unbelievable events that happened in and outside of that house. Spencer's Ghosts, available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple, any place you get your books. Available in paperback and ebook.
This is Beth Darlington, paranormal investigator and owner of Access Paranormal, and you're listening to Al Cooley and the Ghosts in the Valley podcast.
Welcome to Ghost in the Valley podcast. I'm your host, Al Cooley, and welcome to season 7. Where has the time gone? I love this podcast. I love what I'm doing. I love the guests I get to come in contact with. As my next guest coming up, she's first time on the show. She's from Scotland. She has a new book out called Fear Lieth Immortal in Scotland. It's a fantastic read about vampires and vampires interacting with the humans. Really great read. And you can pick it up on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or any place you get your books. We're going to get into that conversation here in a few minutes. Also available on Amazon is my book, Spencer's Ghost, about growing up in a haunted house. I'm really excited about my book. I'm sure as Leslie is excited about her book. Both those books, the links will be at the bottom of this episode. And I'll be right back with my conversation with Leslie Robertson right after these brief messages. Today on the show, I have L.D. Robertson, the author of Fear Lieth, Immortal in Scotland. Leslie lives in Scotland with her family. She received her nursing degree and moved to Glasgow, Scotland, where she specialized in cardiac nursing. She wrote bedtime stories for her children, but never had them published. Leslie has had a desire to write adult fantasy fiction, and we're going to get into her book, plus what she's currently working on. But first, I want to welcome you to the show, Leslie.
Hi, good evening, Al. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you all the way from Scotland. That's a 5-hour delay here, but
yes,
we'll get through it. I want to get into, before we get into the book and everything, how was your life growing up? I mean, as a child, did you have like fantasies on vampires and cartoons and stuff like that? Or did you have like something different going on?
As a child, I had a great imagination. I loved different things, really. Cartoons, like you say, like fantasy films. I loved old type fiction books. And I loved English literature.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, I wrote a few unpublished books for my children when they were wee, and they seemed to like them a lot. Yes.
And, you know, I know when I first contacted you, you were kind of questioning if your book kind of fell in the realm of my podcast.
Yeah.
But my podcast is, you know, the paranormal is anything that's like unexplained. You know, so you really can't explain a werewolf or a vampire or a ghost. I mean, you can't go into a museum and look at a glass cubicle and look at a ghost or look at a Bigfoot or a UFO or an alien or a vampire.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I've always been fascinated with vampires. I'll get into my story a little bit later. But that really fascinated me. And I usually have people say, oh, so-and-so would be a perfect fit on your podcast. Or I'll listen to other podcasts and say, oh, they would be good on my show as well. But in your case, I was scanning the internet. And I came across you. I don't know where it was at. And I said, wow, I looked more on your book. I really thought that was interesting, you know.
Thank you.
So I want to get into that here in a bit. But how did you come up with the idea of this book, Fear Lieth Immortal in Scotland. What made you come up with that?
Well, I'm an avid fan of the Twilight series by Stephanie Meyer, and also kind of Outlander, going through, you know, different times and meeting other mythical creatures. And I wanted to write a book that I would love to read. So I felt that Twilight, it was a brilliant, brilliant book, like series, but I felt I wanted more. So I decided one day just to write some ideas down on scrap bits of paper. And I wrote probably about 10 sides of A4. And I thought, okay, I've done that. And I put it away for about a year. And then I thought, right, I'll go and read it again. And it just sparked off a lot of interest. And I just thought, I've got to write this book. It's been there, but I just haven't had the time with being a nurse and being a mother. And I just thought, now is the time I can pick up where I left off and carry on writing. And I wanted to write it in such a way that people could relate to it, in a way that if they were walking, for example, down a street and they saw somebody a wee bit different, they may question whether they were human or not, or vampire or another mythical creature. And there's a lot in Scotland. So they could walk among us and we don't know. We've probably seen them. So I wanted to write a book with my avatar being Sarah. And she's a nurse and she moves to Scotland in Glasgow. And she wants to kind of blend in. But of course, you know, there's certain aspects of being a vampire that you just can't really blend in. But because the west coast of Scotland, Glasgow, is very dour, really cold, damp, overcast, rains a lot, I thought it was the perfect place for a vampire to live. And of course, going up to the highlands and islands, perfect for the mythical creatures. And my story really blossomed from there, Al.
How did you come up with the names in your book? I mean, did they just come to you?
The actual name of my book?
No, the name of the characters you have in your book, like Sarah.
Okay. Well, Sarah's my daughter's name.
Okay.
And her surname is my daughter's friend's name. So, and then one of the girls at my work, I said to her, tell me a really, really good Scottish male name. And she went, Connor. And I says, why Connor? And she says, oh, that's my boy's name. Oh. So that's really it. During a shift at work, she said, Connor. And she said, remember me when you write Connor in your book. So I wrote a wee dedication to her and my children.
Yeah, that's like in my book, you know, mine was based on a true story. So I kind of, a lot of the characters, I couldn't use her real name. I kind of either used her middle name or, I mean, they're all real people. They're all real characters to me. I just had to change a few, you know, and I'm always curious when people, when I read their book, like, where'd you come up with this place, or where'd you come up with this name? Like me, I would leave like little post-it notes on my dresser, or
yes,
I thought that something came to me in the middle of the night. I have to get up and write it down, or I'd forget it, you know, because it really happened, and so many things, you know, my case, and I know another author's case, like yourself, you know, when you're coming up with a fictionalized book and mythical characters, and Scotland so full, and Ireland so full of, because I've had guests on the show before from England and Scotland and Ireland, you know, and man, I'm like, it's so interesting because you have all these UFO sightings and all these haunted castles and haunted buildings. I'm like, so I thought, well, this is the first with the vampire, and I'm really excited about it. You know, I'm going to get the book and read it because it sounds interesting.
Well, the vampire love aspect of my book, the romance side of it, is a mythical creature. He's the Grey Man of Ben McDooey, which is a real mountain in Scotland. And he is, I suppose, a real mythical creature who haunts and stalks climbers on top of Ben McDooey. So I picked up on that and I thought, that will be a brilliant kind of love aspect, romance. And also a lot of the mythical creatures are real. So, for example, the wolvers, which are based up in Shetland. And then you've got like the will-o'-the-wisps, who are seen up in the Highlands as well. Obviously, the main one, which I do mention briefly, is the Loch Ness Monster. But there's many, many mythical creatures that I couldn't mention. However, my second book, which I'm nearly completed, I have mentioned a few more and meet them.
And when you do that for the second book, like you're bringing new characters in.
Yes.
Do you kill any characters? I mean, I want to get into the book, you know.
Yeah, no spoilers.
But you know, it's always sad when you release a character. Like in my book, you know, I've had, when my grandmother told me years ago, they come in threes. I'm like, I didn't know what that meant, you know, and then I found out, you know, they come in threes, like three people, you know, is going to die with them, you know, shortly between each other. And I was like, I hated that saying. I really hated that saying, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have all these stories from the past. Like you're talking about, like the Grey Man.
Yeah.
That he kind of reminds me of, we have a person in our area. It's called the years ago that was called the Green Man.
Okay.
So people would go to the Pennsylvania, and you could meet this guy into a bar, and you could usually get a story off of him for a pack of cigarettes or a beer. And he was literally like green because he got electrocuted years ago, and somehow it turned his skin green. So he was
really
called so he's called the Green Man. So people thought he's like an alien. I don't know why I thought about that when you were talking about the Grey Man, you know, or the Greys for the aliens, you know.
Yeah.
But that also remind me of, you're talking about that these kids, you know, like, you know, walking among us, whether they're a vampire or a human. It's like, I don't know if you heard of the black-eyed kids. They're like alien kids that people have spotted. I've had quite a few of my show that has brought that up. About the black-eyed children, you know, if they have you run across them with black eyes and they don't blink, they're like supposedly an alien.
Oh yes, like shutter eyes, like I have heard of that. Yes,
you know, that's interesting. You know, has anybody seen the Grey Man?
The research that I did was that where the summit is on the top of Ben McDooey. Sometimes when the sun catches clouds in a certain way, sometimes it can look like a man standing or a figure. So people with their peripheral vision, climbers, have said that they have seen him. He's supposed to be anywhere between 6 foot and 11 foot tall. Some people say his arms are as long as he is tall. There has been kind of footprints, but I don't know. There's a lot of folklore. But I thought I could use that because, one, he's a vampire. And two, if nobody's really seen him, I can kind of make him part of my book and make him an absolute gorgeous male vampire for my Sarah vampire.
Kind of like a romance.
Yeah. I wanted that. Plus, I wanted as well to do like a kick-ass kind of vampire where I would come across as quite demure. And then I would, if anything annoyed, like me. When I say me, I mean Sarah. And if you were to read my book, you would see that there are quite a few times, especially in Glasgow, where I've got rid of a few people. And also the four vampires of Aberdeen. No spot, like a spoiler alert, but there's a big kind of fight at the end and all is well, but it does get a bit hairy.
I'll be right back with the rest of my conversation with L.D. Robertson right after these brief messages.
If you don't mind me asking, how old are your children?
They're teenagers.
So they have you talked to them about your book, about your characters?
Yes, yeah.
Scared of that? Or they kind of have ideas for you?
Yes, they both have really good ideas. I wanted to be a bit more modern than an old mum. try to relate to like younger readers as well, like older teenagers upwards. So I asked my children, what would you do if you were a vampire in this situation? And for example, my youngest one, she said, well, mom, I would use all my powers and I would annihilate them. So it's really, really interesting. And then my older daughter, I said to her, so what would you like the vampire to do? It's a rough like housing estate in Glasgow. And she says, well, how about play on they look like vampires, they smell like vampires, and they kind of act a bit like vampires, but they're just the kids from the local schemes, they call it here, like housing estates. So Sarah's a bit confused, my character, because she's like, but they've got a heartbeat, but they look like vampires and they can jump and run really fast. So I thought that was a really good idea.
I was in Erie, PA, Pennsylvania. And a friend of mine texted me, he says, you ought to go to the Erie Cemetery. I'm like, why? He said, well, they have a vampire crypt there. If you look it up, Google it, it's pretty interesting, the vampire crypt in Erie. And I went there and my wife and I, we spotted it right away, like it was on top of this. The cemetery is huge, and it spotted it right away, like embedded in the earth, like far, far away. And it was so weird that day, because it was like 90 degrees outside, but as I got near the crypt, it was like freezing. The story is there's the crypt, there's no names on the outside of the crypt. I can send you some pictures. There's no names on the outside of the crypt, but it's there's supposedly five bodies in that crypt. There's three barriers that you can't get into the crypt because there's wire and chained and iron gates in front of it. The story goes back in 1800s, I believe, the one was a vampire and going around and killing and drinking people's blood. And so they put him and his family in this crypt. And the groundspeople that work at that cemetery was telling me that's where you get all this activity, is because people have tried to break into this crypt and bad things have happened to them. And I thought it was really, it just, you know, I went back there again and I got that same feeling. It's hard to explain.
Oh, really?
My wife, she wouldn't even get out of the car. I walked up to the crypt. I put my hand on the block wall and it was like ice cold, but it's like 90 degrees outside.
Oh, I've got goosebumps.
And I got this real chill up my spine, but it was really strange, you know. I looked it up. I got home and I did all these stories on it, and I took some pictures. And I'm going to go back there again because I know something just fascinates me about this crypt. And people that work at the cemetery are very adamant that stuff happens around these sites that you can't explain. And the vampire crypt being the number one spot.
Yeah.
And I said, I couldn't understand it. The cemetery is built in, say, 1850. And you have a tombstone there that says 1799. How did that get there? You know, if it wasn't built until 1850? Well, he says, well, because it's usually when a person's buried here, they bring their loved ones here as well.
Yeah.
So you want the family together. So they'll move you from one spot to another. The problem being, if you don't bring the whole body, And you only bring in a rib or a leg or something. Supposedly that's where it's active around these spots. Almost every single spot that where the body was moved prior to that time, there's activity around that spot.
Oh.
So, you know, I get into stuff like that. I got into your book. I got into your stories. And
I love things like that. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to yours. And I listen to, I like a guy from, I think he's from Yorkshire. He'll be annoyed if I get it wrong because it's, I'm sure it is Yorkshire. It's Tony Walker. And he does like ghost stories. They're fictitious, obviously, but they're from 200, 300 years ago, and he reads them out, and it's like bedtime listening, that kind of thing. So, and my grandmother, well, my great grandmother, I should say, she was a spiritualist. So I feel like I've got a close connection with the paranormal, with the things that I've seen and heard.
That's a thing too, you know. I mean, who do you talk to? How do you explain your book to people who, like myself, you know, and I, my book came out in October, and it's on growing up in a haunted house.
Yeah.
I mean, who do you talk to in 1969? I mean, who do you talk to that will actually, that won't lock you up?
Yes, that's true.
If you talk about vampires and UFOs and Loch Ness Monster, I mean, so I come to the conclusion, I don't really expect everybody to believe me. I don't want everybody to believe me, you know, because everybody's got their own. Until it happens to you, I always said that in life, you know, until something happens to you, you're not really going to appreciate it, you know. But I give people like yourself a lot of credit for stepping out and doing something, because there are readers, there are people out there who, and you have an audience for that.
It's quite difficult though, Al, to like promote your book and get people, like you say, there are a lot of people out there, but it's just trying to find out where they are and grab their attention. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of folklore as well up here in Scotland, and you've got to get most of it right. You don't have to get all of it right, but you have to get most of it so that, you know, in the history that you give it credit and depth and history. And I've learned a lot with my research for my book, and especially my second book as well, because that's, I wanted to carry the story on with Sarah and Connor, go under the sea, the North Sea, east kind of Aberdeen, and head towards Shetland to where the Upphelia festival is, which is a festival to do with the Vikings. And that's usually the last Tuesday in January. So it's like the winter solstice. They celebrate the sun coming back. It happens every year, and it's a huge festival with lit torches paraded down the street. So,
and these people take that serious, you know.
Oh, yeah. And
so you want to get that, a lot of the stuff right, because there's a lot of people out there that probably have an extra different angle on it than you, you know, and you learn that way also, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's for some ideas from their stories, you know. That would be really cool to go there, you know.
Oh, beautiful. It looks amazing. And being a vampire as well, I wanted to write books where you could go where humans couldn't go. So you'd have to read my book to know the places, but obviously you don't breathe. So my vampires are mainly based on kind of Stephanie Meyer's, the Twilight vampires. So they're hard, they sparkle in sunlight, they can walk among humans as long as they don't show their powers or their strength. And I wanted a book that my own imagination, I could take it further than, you know, just the Washington state where they were based. I know they went to kind of Italy in Twilight, but I wanted to make it more like Scottish on the West Coast, and then up towards, you know, the Cairngorms, and then Aviemore, Aberdeen. And then the second book I had to research a lot of what's underneath the North Sea, which is hard to do because you're like, what? And I learned, you know, it's only 90 meters deep, which is quite shallow for the seabed. So it's quite rough. And there's a lot of, what you call, oil platforms, which causes a lot of fauna to grow on them. And then that attracts other underwater creatures, the sharks. That's a big kind of thing in my second book.
They're still bringing creatures up from the depths that look like prehistoric monsters, you know,
that
man has never seen before.
Yeah.
You know? So in your book, do you, as Sarah, do you like put yourself in her character? Would you say you're Sarah, or are you writing this like in the third person?
I write in the first person, but I use Sarah as how I would love to be a vampire.
You know, I was just curious because what I've been reading, it sounds like you may be fantasizing yourself as Sarah.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Like an avatar. Yes.
Yeah. She's, yeah. Right.
She's who I would want to be if I was a vampire and how I would act. She's very caring because she's a nurse, and that comes through with her kind of powers, and she uses them for good use and tries to persuade, you know, other not so nice mythical creatures, you know, to be more respectful and have morals. And so, yes, and a cardiac nurse as well. She uses her powers for that. And it came to me, I can't say too much about this, but while I was writing the book, I had to like resuscitate somebody who's quite near, and they survived. And part of Sarah's powers is part like her ability to do that. So it came together really quite well, that part of the book. When you read it, it's actually happened as I was writing it.
Yeah, I kind of relate to that. I had a heart bypass years ago. Person resuscitated me. So that's why my book that I wrote was called Spencer's Ghost,
yes.
The Guardian. So the Guardian is all the times I feel I have a guardian that has protected me, you know, saved me.
Yeah.
And I really applaud you being a cardiac nurse. I mean, my son's a nurse practitioner, so I know the things he sees, you know. but, you know, I was just curious on the book, you know, with Sarah and Connor and the second book, you know. So are you looking at making a trilogy?
Yes, yes. I've nearly finished my second book, so hopefully I'll get the third book started. There's going to be a lot of research, having to do a lot of research for my third book, but I want to continue the journey from Shetland to, can't give too much away, but into Europe. And I've always wanted to hunt down like a serial killer as a vampire. So I've got ideas like that, more of a shock factor, wondering what they're going to do and what I'm going to do. And Connor will be with me. And
have you ever gone into like, changing something you have it down and you went back and you changed it?
Yeah, all the time. All the time. And then you come up with an idea and you're like, I hadn't even thought of that. It just, when I start writing, I don't know if you're the same, but when I start writing and you get so immersed into it, that ideas just ooze from my brain. It just falls out. And
right, you have those spots where you just you're struggling to how to put this in words, and then you have another night where it's like bam 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 bam, it just keeps coming at you.
You can't write fast enough,
right
and then you go back and you can fill in some of the gaps and think, oh, I guess I could put that in, and you know, make it a bit more interesting or descriptive. And then sometimes I get to a part of my book and I think, I'm going to have to change all this because I want to go down this other route. And see how it goes, because I want it to be different. When I watch films or read books, the best films that I like to watch or read books are those that I can't see what's coming. So that not predictable. A lot of the things nowadays I find are really predictable.
Mm-hmm.
And when something comes along that isn't, it really stands out for me. And I admire that, because there's a lot of films, there's a lot of the ideas have been taken up by Hollywood. Books are a little bit different, but...
And that's why I think I love your book, because, you know, it's like I said before, it's unique. I love unique things.
Thank you.
And where can people go to get your books?
Well, I'm on quite a few platforms. I've got a website, fearlieth.com. I do a few videos on TikTok, and I'm on Instagram. Les, our author, you can find me on that. But my books are in the major bookstores or Amazon, Barnes and Noble, and they can be bought from online. So
yeah, I'll put the links to the bottom of this episode, and so people can go get your book. And I'm telling people out there right now, you know, do get this book. I mean, if you like vampires and you like fantasy fiction, this is fantastic. Good read. I can't wait to get it myself.
Thank you.
Thank you for being on the show, and hopefully I get you back on after the second book comes out.
Please do. I'd love to come back, Al. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you, Leslie Robertson, for being on the show today. I really enjoyed my conversation with you on vampires. It's always been a top topic for myself, and I'm sure with the thousands of other listeners out there that love vampires. Yeah, thank you very much. I look forward to speaking with you again. Best wishes on your book, Fear Lieth Immortal in Scotland. I'm your host, Al Cooley, Ghosts in the Valley Podcast.